If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of James. I don't know if I'll get finished tonight. It may be tonight and next Wednesday night. Let me throw out a couple of reminders right quick. Sunday's Father's Day, so we won't have an evening service. We talked it over a little while back, myself and the men. You helped me, Brother Houston, but we decided that Easter Sunday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and homecoming. Is that correct, Brother Houston, that we would not have an evening service, let people just rest? And I'll tell you, to let your pastor rest and spend time with his family for sure, but we appreciate that. So do remember that this coming Sunday is Father's Day, and I'm thankful that God's given me the privilege to be a father, to have a father like I had. I had a good dad. And I appreciate my father. He's in heaven now. And for years, Brother Wayne, I would tell prisoners, I have two wonderful fathers, one on earth and one in heaven. And now I tell them, I've got two in heaven. Amen. But I praise the Lord for the promise of heaven. Let's look at the book of James. We're going to be going kindly all over the Bible through this message, but it's a thought that really spoke to my heart. It's unusual, but I've been studying on and off, not constantly, but most of the day. It's just something that I couldn't get it chewed. I just kept chewing, and if I don't get done tonight, the Lord only knows how much will be added to it before another service. But the thought tonight is found over in the book of James, and this is where it was birthed in my heart. The Bible said in chapter 4 of the book of James, in verse number 6, it said, He giveth more grace. How many could use some more grace? You know what He'll do? He'll give you what you need right on time. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So we can see right there that if we want more grace and we need more grace, then it's not going to come in a spirit of pride, but it's going to come in a spirit of humility. And then he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Years ago, I was looking at that text and something really stuck out in my mind. And I'm just trying to get started here, not even to the verse yet. But the Bible said there, submit yourselves therefore to God. Then it says, resist the devil. I believe it's a major mistake to try to resist before you submit. Does that make any sense? Turn over to the book of Romans. I'll show you something real quick. Every one of us has flesh. Say amen. Every one of us has a battle with the flesh. Amen. Now, look what verse 14 said of chapter 13 in Romans. Chapter 13, Romans, and verse 14. Well, let me back up to verse number 11 and just read it in its context, because this is actually going to go with the latter part of this message whenever I get to it. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation. Boy, I didn't even realize that word there is nearer than when we believed. You'll understand in a minute. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. How many believes that believers ought to do that? They ought to cast off the works of darkness. They'll put on the armor of light. Then in verse 13, he said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. You know, most good Baptists, they might go in for a riot every once in a while, but they would want to skip the drunkenness and the chambering and the wantonness, but they would never put strife and envying in the same category as drunkenness. But that's where God put it, because it's of the flesh, and that's where it belongs, in the same category. But look at verse 14. Here's my point. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe if we're not careful, especially in churches that believe like we believe, that God's people are called to come out from among the world and be a separate people, if we're not careful, we'll preach on make not provision for the flesh, but we'll try to preach that before and more than we preach put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many sees the order right there? See, he said, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, over there in the book of James, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have the privilege and the honor to have our young people here tonight. And the key to having a good testimony and not having your life destroyed by the flesh or the world or the devil is to draw nigh to God. We could stand up here and say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But our Lord will say it in a much clearer, a much more concise, and a much better way than we could ever say it. If you'll just draw nigh to God, then the Bible said he will draw nigh to you. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, what I want to preach about for a while tonight, or teach, or treat, or peach, however you want to say it, I want to talk about drawing nigh to God. Let me ask you a question tonight. We've got people here. Brother Merv, he's got to be over 50 years old, aren't you, Brother Merv? You're over 50, aren't you, Brother Merv? Are you over 50? He's still contemplating, amen? He might be like me, don't have his ears on tonight. I believe he's a little bit over 50. But even, he can just turn me up a little bit, Brother Richard. Brother Merv can't hear me. Can you hear me now, Brother Merv? Oh, barely over 50. I can't hear him. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Oh, amen. Turn me back down, Brother Richard. The volume was fine. Amen. I got Brother Steve rolling his eyes at me. I'll get some tickle in a minute. I can't say anything. Amen. All right. Barely over 50. But you know what? Brother Merv, would you like to be closer to God than you are now? How many believes tonight all of us ought to have a desire in our heart to be nearer? I thought about the song today that said, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. How many believes tonight that God wants us to be nearer? The Bible said here, draw nigh to God. Now, I want to give you something tonight, and that is according to the Bible. Jesus looked at a group of people that were looking real good on the outside. They were called Pharisees. They were called Sadducees. And there were a lot of external things that they did and wouldn't do. But Jesus looked at them and said, you hypocrites. He called them in one place a generation of vipers. And so tonight, I want to start off by reading a verse in Matthew. It said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, And honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So I wanted you to understand tonight that it would be possible for somebody to look like or maybe sound like that they're near when in essence they're far away. Because the only way we can be near to God is not with our mouth. It's not with our lips, but it's with our heart. Going back to what Brother John taught on Sunday morning. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so tonight, to be near to God means more than just talking about it. It means more than just saying it. And by the way, I say this again tonight. I think I've said it before. I believe those who are the closest, walking the closest to the Lord, Brother Anthony, don't know it. We say, preacher, what do you mean? The closer you get to him, the more it reveals about yourself. Amen?
And I don't believe you find anybody walking near to the Lord running around and saying, boy, I want you to look how close I'm walking with Jesus. I want you to look how close I am to the Lord. That's not what it's about. It's about humility, that we could even come in His presence at all. Amen. Let alone be near unto Him. I don't remember who the two preachers were, but they had a great disagreement. I think the word would be theologically. They were not on the same page. They were on the same page as far as Christ and Him crucified, and it takes the blood of Jesus to be saved, and you must be born again. They were on the same page there, but there were other areas, and I think I remember the major area, but because I'm not sure, I won't say, but I can get the point across like this. Somebody asked a preacher, said, do you believe that this other preacher will be nearer, or that you will be nearer to the throne of God than him? And he said, oh no. He said, I'll be so far behind him. Even though he disagreed theologically, he knew the man had a heart for God. He said, I'll be doing good if I can even see him up there near the throne of God. That was humility. And that's what we need some more of in this country. Amen, is some humility. And that's what all of us can use some more of in our lives if we're going to draw near to God. I got five things. Let's get into the first one tonight. It's through the blood of Jesus that we must draw near to God. You say, preacher, I thought you were talking about saved people. Well, I'm talking about both. Sinners and saved people do not have an opportunity whatsoever to get near God outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll show you some things here in the Bible that I believe will help. In Hebrews 10:22, the Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I believe tonight the only way that we can come into His presence, the only way that we can be near to Him, is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Word of God said in Psalm chapter 85 and verse number 9, surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let me just say this tonight. There's never been soap that can purify the heart or cleanse the hands of sinners. Amen. It takes the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only sinners, but what about David? What about the saints of God? What about when you come over into 1 John chapter number 1, where the Bible said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's not only the cleansing that's necessary for a sinner to be saved that comes through the blood, but it's the cleansing and the fellowship that comes through the blood of Jesus to the saints of God as well. Watch this tonight. David said in Psalm 51:2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In Psalm 51 verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I don't know about you tonight, but I like what Brother, I forgot his name, Brother Mitchell, Brother Billy. I like what Brother Billy said. I repeated it a while back. It's worth repeating again. If you've ever repented, you're still repenting. In other words, if you've ever come under the blood one time, you're still coming under the blood. Amen. In order to be cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus, we have to humble ourselves just like we did when we got saved. We don't get saved again, but we have to say, hey, God, you're right. I'm wrong. And come under that precious blood. And He cleanses us and brings us back into that place of fellowship. What a blessing that is. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, beloved friend, if you remember when you got saved, I tell you, one of the things I tell people is, I know I went down dirty and I come up clean. You don't go on feelings, amen. No, sir, but I tell you what, if you ever get saved, I believe you'll feel something. Amen. You go down with a load like sin is and come up without it, you're going to know something's missing. Amen. You're going to go down guilty and come up pardoned. Amen. And you're going to go down dirty and come up clean, go down on your way to hell and come up on your way to heaven. I don't see how anybody could miss that. Amen. It's a blessing to be saved. And it all takes place when a sinner comes in contact with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes place in a moment of time. Amen. I say this, you don't need anybody to tell you. Amen. You'll be telling them what happened. Amen. You may not know all the language. You may not know all the details. I probably couldn't define repentance the day I got saved, but I repented. Amen. I didn't know all that I'd find in the blood, but I found the blood. And the blood fell on me and found me. And blessed be the Lord for that. Amen. I want you to notice something tonight. As we're talking about through the blood, we draw near. The Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart. In the full assurance of faith. Let me just stop and say something right there. Anybody's trying to get near to God outside of the blood, that's not a true heart. That's a false heart. Anybody thinks you can get near to God just by getting dipped in a water hole, just by signing a card, just by joining a church, just by doing a little bit better, that is a false heart. That's a lie out of hell. And I tell you what, I believe with all my heart. Listen, there's one thing to profess Christ. It's another thing to possess Christ. And when you possess Him, it'll be because you came in contact with the precious blood of Jesus. And He gave you access into the holiest of all. Amen. The strangers, let me give you this tonight. The Lord spoke to my heart. I began to look at this drawing near. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 51, the Bible said, and when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. Now, wait a minute. I'm going somewhere tonight. How many believes in the book of Hebrews were taught that everything that we see is a type in that Old Testament under the law is a type of that that's in heaven. In other words, there was a mercy seat there, and there's a mercy seat in heaven. Amen. The blood of the bulls, the blood of goats was applied to the mercy seat there. The blood of Jesus was applied to the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. That's why when a sinner says like that, that publican, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's why God can have mercy. It's through the blood of Jesus. Watch this now. Watch this. This is Numbers 151. When the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. The Levites were those involved in the priesthood. And God said, they're the ones going to set it up. They're the one that's going to take it down. Now watch. Watch. I'm going somewhere. And the Bible said, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. But that's strong language. God said this is a job for the Levites. And if a stranger gets near it, they're going to die. Amen. Stranger better not be touching it. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going. I do. That's why I'm about to shout. There was a time when you and I were a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the promise of God. We couldn't touch the things of God. We couldn't handle the things of God. We couldn't come near God. But oh, thank God, because of the blood of Jesus, we're invited into His presence tonight. And we can come near that precious bleeding side. Thank God tonight. The Bible said, and thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons. They shall wait on their priest office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. That's Numbers 3:10. Ephesians 2:11 said, wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. You remember what we are, what we were, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. How did we get close? Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but I can rejoice tonight that I can come near, amen, to Him because of that precious blood. Not only that, but I noticed something else here in the Old Testament. Not only were there strangers that were pointed out, Leviticus 21:21. The Bible said, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to the offerings of the Lord. Now, the made by fire. He that hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread. I studied this today. I said, oh God, I tell you how many's got some blemishes tonight. Anybody perfect tonight in the house of God? Oh no, we've got our blemishes that we don't have to stay away like they did over here. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come nigh, blemishes and all. And he'll wash us and cleanse us and make us whole. Isn't that a blessing tonight? Thank the Lord tonight for that precious old blood, that precious old Bible that tells us about this precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Let me give you a thought tonight. I'm still here talking about the blood for a few minutes. In Mark chapter 2, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, you remember that one that was born of four. I think he was sick of the palsy. Is that right? He was sick of the palsy. I didn't read it all. I was looking at the verse. But he was born of four, and they couldn't get near Jesus. They couldn't come nigh. There was a couple of things that was hindering them. Number one was the crowd, the press. I'll stop and say this tonight. Young people and old people alike, don't let the crowd come between you and Jesus. Glory to God, there was one woman in that crowd who had an issue of blood, had spent all that she had, all of her living. And she come crawling through that crowd. There's that humility. And said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't let the crowd stop her. She wanted to get to Jesus. But here the Bible said, watch this. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You say, preacher, I don't know where you're going with this. Well, here's what I'm going to say. There was an obstacle. There was something between this man that had a great need and the Lord that can meet that need. The obstacle number one was the press or the crowd. The obstacle number two was the roof. I tell you, it's a good thing that wasn't a Baptist church and you didn't have to have 10 committee meetings to understand whether it's all right to cut a hole in the roof or not. Amen. They just went to tearing a hole in the roof. They said it doesn't matter what it takes. I tell you, if we get to praying like that, oh God, it don't matter what it takes. Save our people. Save this community. Help us, Lord, to get under that kind of burden. Whatever it takes, let's get them to Jesus. Amen. What's this now? There's the obstacle. He said, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Every one of us had an obstacle, Brother Houston. It was sin. We couldn't get to him. Because of sin. I said we couldn't get to him because of sin. You say, preacher, you couldn't get to him because of Adam's sin. I tell you, you can look at it like that if you want to, but happy will be the day in your life when you realize you can't get to him because of your own sin. But I tell you what, there's four men made it possible to let that man down right there in the midst where Jesus was. But there's one man that made it possible. Glory to God, when he stretched out his arms on an old rugged cross and died, he made it possible for all men to come and be saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses my heart just to know what it cost so you and I could come near to him, come nigh to him. It cost him his life. The Lord gave me a statement. I think I was maybe coming out of the hospital Sunday night. I'm going to see if I can remember it. Somebody tell me what I preached on Sunday. I can't remember. I'm serious. What did I preach on Sunday? Help me. What did I preach on this Eve? Oh, okay, that's it, honey. I was magnifying the difference between friends. The Bible said that if a man going to have friends, plural, he must show himself friendly. But there is a friend, singular, that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen to me carefully. Here's the statement God gave me. And he just reminded me of it. I couldn't even remember the message. But he reminded me of the statement. God gave me this statement. Friends, friends, plural, can keep you out of heaven. But there ain't but one friend can keep you out of hell. And that's the one that shed his blood on an old rugged cross. The one that's a friend of sinners. The one that gave his life so that we could have life and have it everlasting. His name's Jesus. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Thank the Lord tonight, Jesus gave his life that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the obstacle, the Lord desired to be close to us. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Look how it started. God would walk right along with Adam in the cool of the day. I'll tell you, wouldn't it be something to know some of those conversations? Wouldn't it be something? Listen, I believe God had a great love for Adam. And I believe it would be obvious if you could hear his voice. But I'm going to say this. I believe Adam had a great love for God. Let me ask you this. How can you walk with God and not love him? I believe when Adam spoke to him, there was a great love in his voice for the Lord. But then something happened. We know that old serpent came. That old serpent, the devil entered into that serpent, began to get Eve to question God. First, that's the way the devil works. He wants you to doubt God. But that's not what he's after in the end. The end run, he wants you to deny God. He wants you to deny the truths of God's word. And so what happened? The separation took place. Now they're hiding. They're trying to hide their nakedness. They're trying to hide from God. Let me just say this. Sin always tries to hide from God. Amen. Sin don't just march out in the presence of God and say, here I am. Oh, no. Sin always tries to hide from God. Here was two people trying to hide their nakedness, trying to hide their disobedience. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Oh, Steve, there was an obstacle. God couldn't walk with them the way he used to. God couldn't talk with them the way he used to. But God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix that. And those animals, he made coats of skins. You say, preacher, I don't know why that's important. Because in the very beginning, the obstacle had to be removed by blood. And it was going to point to a day, hallelujah, when God was not just going to put off their sin another year the way he did in the Old Testament, the way he did another year. But it was going to point to a day when the Lamb of God, Brother Cole, would take away the sin of the world. Take it away, amen. Take it away. I was in a prison one day preaching. I think I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again. I was in a prison one day preaching, and I had every sin I could think of written on a board. Actually, it wasn't every sin I could think of. I took them all out of lists in the Bible. When it talked about the lust of the flesh, and it talked about adultery and drunkenness and lying and stealing. I just tried to get everything right out of the Bible. I wrote it on the board, and I had it small letters, great big board, 4 foot by 8 foot in a prison. And I asked those prisoners, Brother Steve, I said, how many of you guys are guilty of some of this? That's what I told them. Be a happy day in your life when you realize this. I said, there's none of us guilty of some of this. All of us are guilty of all of this. Honey, you get a man or a woman to see that and they'll be running for the blood. You say, preacher, what do you mean? If you offend in one point of the law, the word of God said you're guilty of all. That'll keep God's people from looking down their nose at people too. If we just realize it don't matter what kind of a moral person we might have been. Yes, we may not carry the scars that other would scar, that would carry, but it takes the same blood of Jesus to forgive us as it did to forgive them. I talked about the blood of Jesus. I began to preach on the blood of Jesus. And I began to take those erasers, Brother Steve, and I began to erase. And when I got it erased, I got the board erased. I said, now I want somebody to come up here and take that chalk out of these erasers and put it back on the board just like it was. He said, preacher, that's an impossibility. They understood that too. Ain't you glad? Glory to God, when you've been through the blood, it cannot be put back the way it was before. I got happy preaching, Brother Steve, and I clapped those erasers. And there was an air current in that chapel, and it went just like a cloud. I had to clap them again, and another cloud. I said, thank God he carried it away. It can never be remembered against us anymore because the blood covered it all, made nigh. No wonder James said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Let me just say something to you. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but if Jesus' blood don't cause you to want to draw nigh to him, then I don't know if there's any hope. If knowing greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life. If that don't stir us up, I don't know what would. All tonight, the obstacle, the battle. Not only, beloved, do we need to draw nigh to God through the blood, but we need to draw nigh to God in the battle. I'm just glad tonight that David recorded it over there. The battle is the Lord's. Remember what I said Sunday? The enemy comes. A lot of people take it personal and they say, well, he's after me. It's not you that he hates. It's not me that he hates. It's our Savior that he hates. I'm going to shut it down tonight. I'll get into the battle the next time around. There's plenty of preaching here for a Wednesday night or two. I'll guarantee you that. I know tonight it's the middle of summer 2017. What God's burned in my heart all day, I need to be nearer. I want to be nearer. But the only chance I have of being nearer is that precious blood. A lot of people think about that blood and salvation. This is going on into the message on down. But that blood is just as necessary in sanctification. The sinner couldn't be forgiven apart from the blood. And I'll just say this, the saints can't be forgiven apart from the blood. You say, preacher, I didn't know saints needed forgiveness. I just ask you this, how long you been saved? I can maybe understand you thinking like that if you've been saved for 10 minutes. But much longer than that, amen, you'll understand. Saints need to be forgiven. They're not perfect either. We think things we shouldn't think, say things we shouldn't say, do things we shouldn't do. Somebody help me tonight. You know what makes it possible for us to get back in fellowship? That precious blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I want to ask you tonight. James said, draw nigh to God. Kind of reminds me. I'm not going to fall out with anybody, but I believe those parables in Luke. Is it Luke 15? About the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. I believe all of them or painting a picture of something that someone that's lost. Now you can make that argument and maybe an application that could also apply to a Christian. But I believe the primary reason for those three parables is where they said, this man receiveth sinners and he eats with them. But here's my point. There was a day come in that prodigal's life, Brother Steve. He said, I'm going home. He started home. But there was a father that was looking for him. He made up his mind one day, Brother John, I'm going home. I've been out here in this pig pen long enough. And he began that day. He said, I'm going to say to my father, Father, I've sinned against you. He already made up his mind. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But here's my point. He started home. But then something else started on the other end. He started drawing nigh to home to the Father. And the Father started drawing nigh to him. I've said for years, I can't explain it. I'm not going to argue it. And it may not always be true. But I believe when somebody understands the gospel before they leave their seat, they understand they're nothing but a wicked, wretched sinner, lost and on their way to hell. And they understand, like we said Sunday, the Master has come and calleth for thee. They understand that God is speaking to their heart. I believe more times than not, when they go, boom, and make a step towards him, he runs toward them. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. And you'll find out tonight that the preacher tries to brag on him. You find out what a friend he is. You'll understand that I'm doing a poor job, doing my best. But I tell you tonight, he's a wonderful friend. He's a friend of sinners. He's a friend of the saints. How many here at Bible Way would say he's been a friend of this church? He don't owe it to us, Brother Houston. He could go away today and leave us to ourselves. He don't owe us anything. But in his mercy and in his grace. Say, preach, I don't know why you'd preach like that on a Wednesday night. I do. That's the way the Lord led me. That's all I know how to do. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I beg you, make that first step. Trust Jesus.